Okay, we will open the Senate Revenue Committee for March 22nd. We're going to go just straight in order today, starting with Senate Bill 25, and just work our way down the list. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 25. Good morning, Lizbeth.
Good morning. I'm Chairman Deckard and committee members. With Senate Bill 25, this is basically just allowing the Treasury Department the ability to accept donations for awarding scholarships, grants, and other incentives to account owners and their beneficiaries. It's allowing then the Treasury Department the ability to encourage participation in awarding these grants or scholarships or providing other incentives to account owners and their beneficiaries. It excludes the Oregon College Savings Network and Board from public contracting law, so that's another provision in the bill, and applies to public contracts entered into on or after the effective date of the 2005 Act. It attaches an emergency clause to this Act, so it takes effect March 1st, 2005. Probably not. But
Shortly thereafter.
So anyway, with the revenue impact, is basically it is allowing the Treasury Department to take measures to increase participation then in the college savings program. This increase in participation in the program would lead to then an additional increase in the Oregon tax subtraction, which then does reduce personal income taxes to the state. But this revenue loss really is uncertain and it's unquantifiable, but it should be minimal and less than $50,000 per year.
Great. You know what? Is anyone else here on the college savings plan? Great. Then we'll open a public hearing also on Senate Bill 34.
Chairman Deckard, and with Senate Bill 34, this is dealing with the college savings plan, and basically it is doubling the annual cap amount that a taxpayer can claim as an Oregon tax subtraction for their contributions to the Oregon College Savings account. And basically under current law, it's set at $2,000 for joint returns and $1,000 for all other returns. This bill will double that and make it $4,000 for joint returns and then $2,000 for all the other returns. It's going to apply to contributions made to college savings accounts for tax years beginning on or after January 1st of 2006. So it will begin in 2006. So basically, we kind of dealt with some of these issues last session, Chairman Deckard, so I'm sure you're familiar with all this, but we did have the House Bill 2664 last session, which allowed those unused contributions to the College Savings Network to be claimed as a deduction for up to four subsequent years. And basically what we've seen now from the Treasury is that in calendar year 2004, the total number of Oregon resident accounts was 23,415. The total contributions equal $96.24 million in the College Savings Network. Now, basically what I've given you as far as a revenue impact from this is some preliminary numbers just because all I had at the time was tax year 2001, which is what we used last session in order to make these estimates for House Bill 2664. So probably due to, and at that time, the accounts were only a little over 10,000 accounts, and the contributions was about $44 million. So we've now more, and in 3 years, we've more than doubled the number of accounts and doubled the amount of contributions. So I really probably need to go through the more recent data and update this revenue impact because, again, this I did benchmark the revenue losses on the new total $96 million in 2004, but it would be better to kind of go through those accounts again because what I did in 2001 with the 2001 data is I have the actual contributions by all the different accounts, and then I could see which ones are over a certain threshold, like 2,000 or 4,000, whichever you're changing in the bill. So basically for the revenue loss estimates, these really are just looking at how much is the additional amount going to be initially. So initially what we're saying is we're going to not have a cap of 2,000 but 4,000. So for those who are making large contributions, they're the ones who are going to be benefiting from this. Maybe they make, as we talked about from last session, you now have four subsequent years in which you can carry forward deduction amount. So you basically can make a contribution of $10,000 and use it all up over 5 years. Well, now you're saying basically you have $4,000 a year, so you could use $20,000. So those are the kind of things that you kind of need to go through then, the distribution as far as how much can actually be used up and how much unused contributions there would out there that wouldn't be allowed a tax subtraction under current law versus under this bill. So the revenue loss that initially came up with 2006-07 was a loss of $941,905, and that includes all of 2006 and a portion of 2007. That's why it's a little bit larger than, say, like in 2007-08 fiscal year of $748,291. So for the biennium in that 2007-09 biennium, it's about $1.6 million loss, and then 2009-11 about $1.9 million loss. So, again, I'll update these numbers and feel a little better that we have the most recent data in order to make these estimates.
Great, great. We really want to look at this, so we'll want that updated. Yes, Senator Starr.
I don't think I'm confused, but perhaps I am. You're saying a tax deduction. That is an income reduction to which the tax is applied. And that's not clear by what I'm reading here.
Okay. So, Senator Starr, what you get is you make a contribution to the account, and then you get to take up to $2,000 as a deduction.
Deduction from
your income, right. It's not a credit. So then, you know, basically when you're calculating these revenue losses, you take that amount of that income that's deducted times a tax rate. I use 7.5%.
Yeah.
So.
I appreciate that. That's what I thought was happening, but it doesn't quite read that way to me, just reading the...
Okay.
It says tax deduction,
mm-hmm.
and it's an income reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And one thing we can ask Michael to do is just walk us through the mechanics of how a participant claims their deduction and what this would do if we passed it. So Kate Richardson and Michael Parker, if you could talk to us both about Senate 25 first and then Senate Bill 34.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Michael Parker, Executive Director of the Oregon 529 College Savings Network. And before I give you the couple of points on Senate Bill 25, I thought I'd just run through some of the numbers that we've experienced as an update to the College Savings Network. Take a couple of minutes to do that for you. As you know, the network comprises three college savings plans that we now manage, that our board now manages. Each plan is a unique investment vehicle that you can invest in for college savings. We offer up to about 31 different investment options for folks to invest in. And as Lizbeth mentioned, Oregonians can take a tax deduction or an income reduction, each from the state taxes. And the other point on taxes, all earnings are both state and federally tax-free. That's the real benefit to college savings plans. So as the money grows, it all grows state and federally tax-free and can be taken out tax-free. If families can use their savings at any eligible institution in the United States, both public and private, for a wide range of educational expenses, including books, tuition, fees, and other expenses. What I really want to talk about is just the growth we've had in 4 years. We've done, I think, a great job of getting folks involved in the College Savings Network. And just as a way of comparison, by the end of 2001, when we first started the program at that full year, families had opened 10,000 accounts and invested about $33 million in that first year, and those are Oregonians. Today, the network has more than 60,000 accounts and upwards of $430 million in the plan-wide. That's not all Oregon money, but a good portion of that is actually Oregon money. We do sell the program nationally, but a good portion of that is actually Oregon dollars. I would say more than 75% of that is Oregon money. So that really the participation really demonstrates the need for this kind of investment vehicle. One thing I also wanted to mention is that the network is fully self-supporting now. We take no general fund resources to manage the network. In fact, the network has been so well received by Oregonians in the past couple of years that we're able to return all of our general fund loan, startup loan, early before the end of this biennium. And we'll be giving that back before July. So that's a quick update on the network. We certainly appreciate your support getting this thing started and keeping it moving forward. I want to mention just a couple of improvements we're making to the plan, to the network, which Senate Bill 25 does. As Lizbeth mentioned, it does allow the network the authority to create scholarships, grants, and other incentives with the main goal of increasing participation and awareness in the program. We don't have any scholarship program started yet. This is sort of the beginning to allow us to do this. What we want to do is give ourselves the ability to help more kids go to school. So if we can have certain scholarship programs for various things, then we get more people involved, they understand the need for savings, and we can then bump up the awareness of the program. So it really is giving us the ability to bump up the awareness, get more folks into the program. The College Savings Board is certainly concerned about access to higher education. And with the ability to create scholarships and incentives to save, the board can further the public policy goal of providing access to affordable and accessible higher education. That's really the board's goal right now with the scholarship program. The second piece to Senate Bill 25 is just some cleanup language. Since the network is a division now of Oregon State Treasury, Senate Bill 25 aligns the network and the College Savings Board with the remainder of the agency in relation to the Public Contracting Code. So as the Treasury is listed in the Public Contracting Code, the network will be listed right alongside the Treasury in Public Contracting Code. So that is all I have for testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions on Senate Bill 25.
Questions? Kate, did you have anything on 25?
No, not specifically.
Not specifically. Senator Metzger.
Yeah, I just have one question on one of the key purposes here, lines 25, 26, to accept donations. And my question about this, why would we need that? I know I've talked to legislative council about this on other ones, and they said any arm of state government can receive donations of any kind, and they must be directed to that purpose. So it's like, you need that authority. My understanding is you don't need that authority. That if anybody wants to donate to it, that the state is obligated to direct those donations to wherever the donor wants it to go.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, we were told by our Attorney General that, just to make it clear, once we received a donation from either a public or a private source, for the board to be able to grant that back out, that's what this is really giving us the ability to say. So say, let's say that you gave us $25,000 for a certain scholarship, we would need the authority to take that in and then grant it back out to those recipients. That's what this bill is giving us authority to do. And I think it's basically just cleanup language from the AG giving us the ability to do that. It's more of a granting piece, I believe.
Do you have folks that are interested in providing scholarships? There's so many avenues to provide scholarships that this isn't immediately one I would think of. But it sounds like you might have folks that...
Mr. Chair, yes, we do. As soon as when we recently hired Oppenheimer and Vanguard to provide mutual funds for the College Savings Program, on passage of this bill, Oppenheimer has placed $25,000 to start to see this into play. So we do have some money that's going to be coming in if this bill does pass.
Mr. Chair, if I might add to Kate Richardson, Oregon State Treasury, we see this as a real effort to do some outreach into minority and low-income areas, too, that are not utilizing this program, even though you can start one of these plans with as little as $25 a month. And so that's one of our outreach efforts, too, is to be able to raise awareness of this program through use of scholarships, but also use that as a chance to promote the saving ethic in some of our underserved communities.
Great. Other questions or thoughts on 25? Mm-hmm. Thanks. Senate Bill 34.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Kate Richardson, Oregon State Treasury. I believe being passed out or already having passed out to you is a letter from the Treasurer on Senate Bill 34, and I'm here on his behalf today. As Michael's already testified, under Senate Bill 25, the College Savings Networks had remarkable success. However, the Treasurer, who's also the Chair of the College Savings Board, regularly hears from participants that the tax benefits should be made to be more fair and also increased to help offset the rising cost of tuition. Currently, Oregonians may receive a $2,000 state tax deduction each year for contributions to one of the state's plans. However, because the $2,000 deduction is per tax return, not per person, married couples are unfairly penalized. married couple may claim only as much as a single filer, regardless whether they file jointly or separately. Senate Bill 34 makes the college savings tax deduction equal for all Oregonians by removing that marriage penalty and allowing a $2,000 tax deduction per person. 26 states offer a 529 college savings deduction. Oregon ranks at the bottom both in terms of flexibility and total deduction amount. In fact, only two states offer a deduction lower than Oregon's. Nearly 70% of the states offer the deduction per person, and of those who do not, most offer a much higher annual tax deduction. Four states actually offer an unlimited tax deduction, and 11 states offer a deduction for each beneficiary. So if you had multiple accounts, you could take the deduction on each. And the average deduction nationwide is about $6,600. So a deduction of $2,000 per person is not only fair, but it helps offset the rising cost of tuition and other college-related expenses. Average two-income families are finding it hard to keep pace with these increasing costs, and I can testify since I am one of them. Our research demonstrates that Oregonians would save more every year if the deduction were increased and make college more affordable than for those Oregonians and more accessible. And Michael Parker here can also speak to some of our surveys we've done on that too. And we are both here to answer any questions you have.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Senator Starr had some questions on the basic mechanics. Basically, what we offer is a $2,000 deduction per year on contributions. It is a reduction on your income. So if you make $50,000, your tax liability will be on $48,000. The Rule 4 provision that we passed, I believe, last session allows you to put in a lump sum in 1 year, let's say $10,000, and then take the $2,000 deduction over the next succeeding 4 years. So the point is that the more money you put to work sooner, the higher your returns are going to be. So we allow that roll forward provision. Secondly, we did a poll on some research this last year, actually in February. We basically asked our current college savings clients, if the deduction were raised, would you save more for college? And the answer is overwhelmingly yes. Currently, the average contribution per year is $2,700. That's what most folks are putting in. If the deduction were raised to $4,000, $2,000 per person per family, the average contribution would be $4,100 per year. So the tax benefits are what's driving folks to put money in the plan. So what we're trying to do is up that contribution rate, therefore offsetting the cost of education when they're ready to go to school. So research does show that the higher the deduction, the higher the contribution will be. We're really trying to target, you know, those middle-income families who are having a tough time, as Kate said, you know, saving for retirement and saving for college for one, two, or three kids.
What percentage of folks don't claim the deduction?
Mr. Chair, the percentage of folks that don't claim deduction, when we did the analysis, I believe last session, it was nearly half do not claim the deduction, and I can only guess that either they forget or it's just not meaningful enough for them to take it. It certainly is meaningful for those middle income Oregonians who are struggling to pay for the higher cost of tuition. So it is meaningful for a large group of folks in Oregon.
Other questions, Senator Starr?
I'm interested in how that would affect me and my wife, who are contributing for 11 grandchildren. Are the accounts set up in the name of each of the children then? So it's the aggregate of the amount deposited. And we've got to change plans.
We can amend the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, if you'd like to entertain the idea of an unlimited tax deduction, that may benefit you more. But in your case right now, you and your wife together would only be able to claim the $2,000, no matter how many accounts you had. Removing that marriage penalty would mean, under this bill, would mean that you could claim a $4,000 tax deduction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a conflict of interest.
Well, I think probably on this one, a lot of us do have a conflict of interest. So the big question that I think we have to grapple with is anytime we're looking at, and we're going to look at credits and expenditures for the next 2 weeks, you want to make sure that they're targeted and that they go to folks that need them the most. And that's at least the question I have to ask myself on this is, does it really affect those Oregonians that need it the most on income criteria? And also, the other at least thing we're asking of folks who have bills to reduce the overall budget is to find areas where we can offset that. And so I guess those would be the two immediate things that are in the back of my head on this bill.
And Mr. Chair, the Treasurer does understand that these are there are many tough choices that you will have to be making regarding those, but feel strongly that this should be one of them on the table.
And Mr. Chair, one last comment to your point. We did pass, I believe, last session that if folks are putting in money in this plan over a period of years and decide for whatever reason not to use it for educational expenses, the participant is required to pay back the state government what it took in the deduction. So they can't take the money and run if they don't use it for education. This basically is a targeted tax break for folks using it for educational expenses. If they don't use it, have to pay the money back.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's a good point that any deduction taken, we know, is going to go to a really good purpose, which is college education. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else on Senate Bill 25 and Senate Bill 34? Close public hearing on Senate Bill 25. Close public hearing on Senate Bill 34. We're only scheduled for a public hearing on 25. I'm ready on 25 to reschedule that for a work session. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 325. What's that?
Senator Deckard and committee members, with Senate Bill 325, What this is doing is it's establishing a new corporate tax credit for an employer that pays all or a portion of the community college tuition of the company's employees. It restricts the tax credit to the lesser of the amount paid by the employer towards tuition of employees or $1,500. So basically that's the cap on it, is $1,500 or the amount of tuition. It specifies that the credit is allowed only if the employee is enrolled in an Oregon community college and employed by the employer seeking the tax credit for 20 hours or more each week at a rate that does not exceed 50 cents per hour more than the minimum wage in effect for the year in which the tax credit is being claimed. So basically this is pretty targeted in the sense that you have to be working part-time at least, and then you have to be only earning the minimum wage or 50 cents above the minimum wage. So you can't be earning a lot of money. You've got to be at right around the minimum wage. It limits the tax credit then to the tax liability of the taxpayer each year, but may be carried forward then for 3 years. It allows a prorated tax credit for non-residents and part-year employers. It applies to community college tuition paid by an employer in a tax year beginning on or after January 1st, 2007 and before January 1st, 2011. So basically, we had a bill real similar to this last session, and I think we heard it at least once. And so basically what I did was look at some of that was Senate Bill 76 from last session. And so I looked at just the data that I had from that bill last session, and it was based on 2001 as far as the number of professional technical community college students that were working more than 20 hours per week at an hourly wage of less than $7.40. So basically we found that there was about a little less than 6,000 community college students that were working more than 20 hours per week and at this kind of minimum wage category. So basically from that data is where I just looked at the revenue impact, and I will examine this again to get some new tuition numbers and stuff because I haven't updated the tuition for the community colleges yet from 2003 information. But basically, looking at this in terms of the revenue loss, it's not real big. I'm assuming about 40 corporations initially would take the tax credit. They probably take it at the maximum amount of $1,500 because it doesn't take many student's tuition before you would hit $1,500. So basically, as far as the biennium revenue impact for the 2007-09 biennium, roughly $159,000. As far as revenue loss in the 2009-11 biennium, $207,000.
Thank you. Questions for Lizbeth?
Mr. Cassidy, Mr. Bischoff.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Don Bischoff. I'm legislative assistant to Senator Bill Morissette. He apologizes for not being able to be here today, but he's off in his Ways and Means subcommittee figuring ways to spend the money that you folks raise in this committee. This is just primarily here to answer any questions and introduce Bob Cassidy, who's a constituent of Senator Morissette, who's been working on this bill or variations of it for three sessions now, has fond hopes that this will be his successful session. I would note that the bill has bipartisan support from members of both parties. One point I wanted to question, the revenue impact statement refers to corporate tax credit. The intention has been that this would also allow small business owners, people who are not corporations, a corner gas station, to get this tax credit also. And I hope that the Legislative Council has drafted it in that way. I'll let Bob Cassidy speak for his bill and be happy to answer any questions when he's through.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee. Some years ago, my attention was called to the amount of poverty in the state by this document put out by the Oregon State University, and you're probably somewhat familiar with it. Although they list many causes and solutions to the problem, education stands out as one of the best solutions for some. The bill is an effort to offer that solution to those who face many obstacles in trying to help themselves out of the box that they are in. The poor have less disposable income to invest in their own education, available hours, and fear of going back to school. All aspects that might achieve their chances of financial success with this bill. An employer can offer to employees the opportunity and encouragement to try to improve themselves by taking that first step, a class at community college.
Mr. Cassidy, we all know you, but we just need to get your name for the...
Bob Cassidy, Eugene. Thank you. The low estimated cost of the bill by the Legislative Revenue Office startled me at first, and I've adjusted that on yours. In the last session, we were estimating $45,000 for the first year and $90,000 on the fourth year. There's been a slight increase in inflation on that, and that's now $159,000 estimated cost in the first year, rising to $207,000 in the fourth year. And those figures we just got this morning, so I believe your copy has that change. The low estimated cost of the bill by the Legislative Revenue Office startled me at first. I suspect that the aspect of the primary users, the small business community who employ most of the minimum wage workers, is that they have less flexibility in offering time for school hours, and some say they don't pay enough taxes to benefit from the credit. I do suspect that many of the users of this benefit will be those taking English as a second language. Certainly the ESL department of our community college believe this. They are strong supporters. Small businesses and low-wage workers are a difficult group to reach with communication. We will need time to inform them of this bill. It would take effect in the next biennium, beginning January 2007. If it is not used, it will dissolve in 4 years. If it works, we will be back here to renew it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Cassidy?
Senator Zanski.
Just a comment. Bob, thank you very much for bringing this forward. I just want to know why my name's not on this bill. I look at everyone else. It seems to be a good representation from Lane County.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brzezinski, that was an error by the legislative assistant assigned to this bill, and it will be corrected forthwith.
I assume that was the problem.
I see a pattern developing here. People brushing off and other questions on some bill. Yes, Senator Starr.
Further comment. The cost that you summarized for us is biennial cost, not per year cost. And so as you think about that, change that cost figure, it's
a 2 year cost, not cost
1 year
per
cost.
Year.
Right.
He's correct, yeah. So it's actually lower than what you were saying.
That's good.
I'm at a loss as to how much this is going to cost.
I love an honest man.
I think it's going to be very difficult for anyone to project the cost.
Absolutely.
And this was one of the reasons why I felt it was necessary to put a sunset clause on it when we initiated the bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Other thoughts or comments for the panel? Thank you for all your hard work on this proposal. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 325 and open a public hearing on our last bill for today, which is Senate Bill 394.
Chairman Deckert, with Senate Bill 394, this is establishing a new personal income tax credit for taxpayers who pay for community college or public or private college tuition. It allows then the tax credit to for the taxpayer who paid for and received that college education. It restricts the tax credit to the amount of tuition paid during the tax year or $2,000. It specifies that the credit is limited to the tax liability of the taxpayer each year and may not be carried forward. It allows a prorated tax credit for non-resident and part-year taxpayers, and it applies to tuition paid in the tax year beginning on or after January 1st, 2006. So I have not had a chance yet to do a revenue impact for this bill, but basically it is designed to encourage Oregonians to continue in higher education at Oregon colleges and universities and reimburse them for that.
Thank you. Questions for Liz Beth? Let's see, I think this group is from Bend, is my guess. Senator Westland introduced this bill. So in whatever order y'all would like to present, I have six names, but sometimes folks want to come up in the order that they want. So it's up to you. I can call you up or...
Well, we have Senator Westland on his way, but in the meantime, Caitlin, Kevin, and Rachel, if you would go ahead and start.
And here's what we'll do. When Senator Westland enters... He's going to try to get one of the microphones.
Don't worry. Not- Your job. Does not
We're not going to let him. So
defend the mic.
Don't be deferential.
Oh, here
he is. Exactly. Right. So please proceed and. Well, we're
misunderstood the instructions.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what we didn't want to have happen.
Yeah.
Is what just occurred.
Yeah, but we have to pass the bill.
What am I? For the record, Senator Westland, District 27. What am I doing here?
Well, we were asking that question. Yeah, that's exactly.
Qualified, capable, articulate, passionate spokesman for this wonderful bill, and all I can do is water down the quality of the testimony. I do not know what I'm doing here.
Well, funny that you would say that, because that was the exact conversation this committee just had. So, Kaylin, if you would like to, are you Kaylin?
No, I'm Kaylin.
Kaylin, please save us from your esteemed and great and valuable state senator, and we'll work him in with questions, very technical questions.
Well, good morning, Chair Deckert and members of the committee. My name is Caitlin Smith, and I am 21 years old and a former student of Central Oregon Community College. I graduated in December of 2004 with an Associate of Arts degree. I intend to return to college this fall at Pacific University. About a year ago, I was talking to an out-of-state friend about taxes and tuition. She mentioned she receives a tax credit for her college tuition in her state, which made me wonder why I did not receive the same in my state. I began to talk to friends about why college students in Oregon did not receive a similar tax credit. Governor Polongowski came to COCC last winter to talk to about his commitment to higher education. Some of my fellow classmates in Linda Swearingen's political science class went to hear the governor speak. While waiting, we pitched the idea to Senator Ben Westland about having a tuition and fees tax credit in Oregon for working students. He liked the idea, made a phone call to legal counsel, and started the process of having a bill drafted for us. Last June, a number of us from COCC came to Salem and pitched the idea to Daniel Santos in the governor's office. Now we are here today telling you about what led to Senate Bill 394. The past 2.5 years, I have been working 30 to 40 hours a week along with earning my associate's degree and maintaining straight A's. This has been difficult to do, but a necessity to be able to support myself and pay for school. My parents have tried to help with the cost of tuition, but have not been able to contribute much because of their financial situation. And this fall, I have 2 more siblings entering college. This means that there will not even be the little bit of help that I have been receiving in the past. There are scholarships and grants and loans to help with the cost of college, but they only go so far. So to go back to school or to go back to college, I'm working full-time and in the process of getting a second job to make sure that I can afford to go back. This hopefully should give me enough money for school, and if I continue to work full-time while earning my bachelor's degree, I'll be able to support myself. Senate Bill 394 is designed for students like me who support themselves while going to school. This tax credit is a way for Oregon to provide financial relief for working students and invest in Oregon's future. Not only do we have job skills, but we are working to improve them and eventually get better paying jobs. This means not only are we paying taxes, but in the future we will be giving back more to the state. With the rising cost of higher education, I know it becomes harder to afford college expenses along with rent, food, electricity, and all the other expenses of supporting oneself. It would be a relief if the state could provide some sort of aid for working college students, and a tax credit is a way to do that. I strongly encourage you to support this bill because it is a way to invest in the future of Oregon and provide tax relief for working college students, because the students who work and go to school are not only contributing now, but will contribute much, much more in the future.
Thank you, Kaylin. Very well put. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Tammy Chappell. Good morning. Good afternoon. But good morning. My name's Tammy Chappell, for the record. I am 36 years old, married for 16 years, mother of 5. Working as a detox technician, counselor aide, and a full-time college student at Central Oregon Community College. 4.5 years ago, I was arrested for falsifying documents. During this period of my life, I was a meth addict, dealer, and meth cook. After being arrested, I entered a treatment program and spent the following year getting my life together. I regained custody of my children near the end of that year. My husband also entered a treatment program. After completion of his treatment program, he returned home. At the prompting of a close friend and mentor, Linda Swearingen, founder of Bridge to Hope Ministries, I entered college 2 years ago. I will be graduating from COCC this June with a certificate in drug and alcohol counseling. I plan on completing my bachelor's and master's degree in social work. Currently, my husband is getting started in a small business that barely supports us. My parents help when they can by paying for gasoline for me to get to and from school. They are also mentoring us in the management of having a large family and teaching us how to live on a small income. I am in support of Senate Bill 394 because it would relieve a lot of pressure financially for our family and families like ours. I see a lot of single moms, people in recovery, and young families getting started in attending college only to drop out when the cost becomes too much. This bill, if passed, will make the difference in my family's life and the life of many other young people who are trying to become productive members of our society. Thank you for your support on this bill.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy. I will tell you, your story and Kaylin's are very inspirational, and when folks worry, and sometimes you hear those stories of folks worrying about future generations, we get enough Kalins and Tammys to assure us that we're going to be fine. So thank you for coming to Capitol.
Questions for the panel?
Thank you very much. Senator Westland, please. Did you?
I believe the strongest case has been made for this bill, and that they've done this, not me. So unless you need to hear from me, I am happy to let the students speak for themselves on a bill they create.
Wow. Thank you very much. Thank you for all your hard work.
Well, okay. I can't help myself. The unique aspect of the bill is that it applies directly to...
It was going great.
It was exactly. We had an emotional moment there.
It is
compelling life stories.
It's time to go, Mr. Chair.
We have a number of other, but Senator Westland, if you're willing to stay with us for five or 10 minutes.
I would be pleased to, and maybe while they're coming up, I can just highlight the really unique, this applies directly to the students that earn the money. This isn't daddy or uncle. It incents students to learn the value of a dollar while they are learning job skills while in school. And it's a great concept, and it's them, and that's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. I think it's valuable to hear that other states actually, I didn't know that other states provide a credit to help working students make their way through colleges. Tuitions are just escalating across the country and certainly here in Oregon. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Go on up. Good morning.
Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to appear before you. My name is Rachel Nolan. I'm currently a full-time student at Central Oregon Community College. I'm here today to ask for your support for Senate Bill 394, which would provide tax relief to college students in the state of Oregon. I can only imagine the demands placed on you to create a budget that meets the needs of the citizens of this great state as you struggle with the limited resources of a weak economy. I ask myself how I could come before you today and ask for a tax cut in a time when the state needs all the tax dollars it can get. The reality is that while this will reduce the tax that college students pay in the short term, the state will actually reap greater benefits over the long term. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the mean year-round earnings for a high school graduate is approximately $34,000, while a graduate of a four-year institution earns approximately $60,000. That is a $26,000 increase in yearly income. Over a 30-year work period, that would yield an increase of $780,000. Just think of what that means in terms of income tax revenue. It is widely acknowledged that college costs are becoming increasingly less affordable to students. Tuition rates have risen rapidly in the past decade. I have firsthand knowledge of this because I first enrolled in a community college 10 years ago. For the 1995-96 school year, I was charged $32 per credit hour at Mount Hood Community College. It worked out to approximately $500 per term. I was able to attend school and work without receiving any financial aid. This year, that same institution charges $63 per credit hour. I spend over $1,000 per term on tuition and fees. I work part-time and hold a federal work-study position as well, yet I'm unable to pay for the cost of attendance without financial aid. In addition to the increased cost of attendance, students in Oregon face another setback. According to the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education, the average state grant aid per enrolled undergraduate student is $354 nationally. Washington State provides an average of $483, while California offers an average of $367. Oregon, on the other hand, gives only $133 per student. President Kennedy once said, "Our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education. The human mind is our fundamental resource." I ask for your support today in making the cost of attending college just a little more affordable by reducing the tax burden placed on students. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Rachel. Questions? I have one. Do you avail yourself of the Oregon Opportunity Grant?
I don't.
I think a lot of students would qualify that are full-time working, would be my guess. And that's one way to help with the cost. And we're looking at, and Senator Westland would have the expertise on this, we're looking at expanding that a great deal, which is would move us closer to where California and Washington are at in terms of need grant, need-based aid.
That would be great.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Chair Decker, members of the committee. My name is Ryan Swearingen. I'm a full-time graduate student at Portland State University. I will complete my master's degree this summer in special education. I also work full-time at Columbia Site High School in Portland. Senate Bill 394 is a $2,000 tax credit for higher education that would benefit both working undergraduate and graduate students alike. This bill is designed to assist and encourage individuals who must work and attend school at the same time. I can attest from personal experience that it is extremely difficult to attend graduate school and work full-time. However, financial aid is not sufficient enough to cover tuition, books, and living expenses. This bill would encourage working students like me to continue to further my education while I'm still in the workforce paying taxes. In order to take advantage of this proposed law, a student must pay taxes to receive this benefit. It is not set up to assist parents who pay for their child's education, but is solely designed to reward working students who pay state income taxes. Parents should be encouraged to help pay for their child's higher education. Nevertheless, there are many instances where this does not happen, and there are a number of different reasons for this. This bill also encourages individuals in the workplace to further their education. We all know higher education isn't cheap. In fact, it is very expensive and out of reach for many citizens of our society. This bill would make higher education more affordable for those who need it the most. I would encourage you to do everything within your power to create an environment where workers have not only the opportunity to further their education, but they can do so at a reasonable expense. Senate Bill 394 is a step in this direction. Thank you for your support of workers and students who are enrolled in higher education.
Thank you, Ryan. Questions for the panel? Thank you very, very much. And our final two, Ms. Swearingen and Mr. Polk? No.
Van Meter. From Polk County.
Oh, from Polk County.
It says Lewis County.
Van Meter. And if I may, Mr. Chair, Linda Swearingen is a delightful witness, but Mr. Van Meter is somewhat aggressive and hostile. At the earliest convenience, I mean, it may be wise for you to intercede with some particular harassing and hazing remarks, just to keep you.
Okay, well, could we, I know we can get the Sergeant at Arms, if we could get the Sergeant at Arms down here, that always gives us just a little more comfort here. So if they're on TV, if we could bring or just Sergeant at Arms down, or a trooper, or a trooper, if that would
be. Well,
they
got badges and guns.
Exactly. That's true.
I know this because he is my play and works very dutifully and well in the office, but he has a little.
Great. That helps us a lot. Please.
Chairman Deckert, distinguished members of the Senate Revenue Committee, my name is Shane Van Meter, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you this morning in support of Senate Bill 394. I am 20 years old and currently a full-time student with junior standing at Western Oregon University, and I am also from Redmond, Oregon. As a son of a middle-class family, I find myself affording the cost of college myself. As a result, I work three jobs to be able to pay for tuition, fees, books, supplies, rent, bills, and most importantly, food. With the way the financial aid system works, all aid is based on my income and my parents' income, which together is too much to gain me any financial aid. This is an extreme disadvantage to me since my parents are not paying for any of my education. I feel I have been fortunate that through my hard work, I've only been forced to take a college loan for 1 year of my education. Being trapped in a loan that is designed to take 30 years to repay is not a position I wanted to be in. Simply put, this decision to not be reliant on loans has caused me to have to work extra hard to earn the necessary funds to pay for college and survive in the real world. For the year 2004, I earned $7,543. Had Senate Bill 394 been available to me for this year, the amount of money I would have been credited was $337. Now, to most, this may not seem like a large amount of money, but to a college student like me, this is a large sum of money. With it, I could have purchased a term's worth of textbook, among other essentials. To some, the financial impact of this measure to the state is of dire concern. I would like to argue that the financial impact on the state is minimal. As I mentioned above, my tax relief from this bill would have been $337. I consulted the student payroll office at Western Oregon University, and the average earnings for a student at the university were $1,540 for 2004. Based on this amount, the average tax relief to the average student at Western Oregon would have been approximately $78. Now, that figure is based only for 1,393 students employed through on-campus positions, but it begins to show the true revenue impact of this measure. The amount of lost revenue to this bill now will be returned in much larger revenue gains, as we all will have higher paying jobs because of our college education. There has been an increasing trend over the years of less and less financial support from the state towards higher education. Just 15 years ago, the state of Oregon paid approximately 60% of the costs of higher education. Today, that figure is around 38% for state institutions. As a result, we the students are paying higher and higher tuition costs. As reported in yesterday's Statesman Journal, higher tuition and fees for state universities has increased on average of 46% since 1999. Senate Bill 394 gives us, the student, a chance to get some immediate financial reward simply for working hard, both on our education and in the workplace. We all work very hard to support ourselves and our educational endeavors. By us going out and getting our diploma is an investment in our future and the future of the state of Oregon. Our education will provide us with the tools necessary to become successful individuals and positive members of society, working to boost the economy of the state of Oregon as better trained and educated workers. Senate Bill 394 is a way for the state to invest in us and our education. I ask for your support of Senate Bill 394. An investment now in today's college students will yield a greater investment in Oregon's future. Thank you.
Now you know, Mr. Chair, why we're so proud to have him in our office.
You are.
Presentation. We're bringing them up.
We are all very impressed. The one question I think we all have is, why do you work for Senator Westland?
Home district.
Oh, okay. Good. Very understandable.
They all have crosses they have.
You can go with the senator you want or with the senator you have.
Mr. Chair, is this the time to be asking questions?
Let's let Ms. Swearingen in, and then we will open it up. She's our final witness.
Yes, ma'am. Sure. Chair Deckard, members of the committee, I had the honor of teaching last year at COCC two different political science classes, and I had a great time. I had a wonderful class, and I'll never forget the governor coming in and talking about higher education. Senator Westland was there as well, and a number of the students, as you heard from Kaylin, mentioned that they were interested in actually seeing a tax credit bill put together. And the senator,
we know you from your county commission days. We just need to get your
Linda Swearingen. Redmond, Oregon.
Yeah.
And sorry about that.
It's okay. They start to wrestle over there when I don't, but
I get nervous.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, he fired the group up and said, you know what, you can make a difference. And that's why we're here today, and I'm just serving as an advisor. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them. But this is truly a student-driven bill, and they feel very passionate about this tax credit. And several of them have come over from Redmond and Bend, and it's not the first trip, nor the last. Thank you.
Well, I can tell you we are very impressed with the presentation that y'all have put forth today. It's definitely got our attention. Senator Brzezinski.
Well, I was wondering when Shane was giving us his testimony. He said he's working three jobs, Senator. Three jobs? He should only be working one. Seems like the pay might not be quite enough to make sure Shane gets through. So, and then the other thing, I was really trying to figure out the $337 that you had been credited. I understand that it would have paid for, as you're saying, your books and stuff. I'm thinking back to my days. That would have purchased about 1,400 boxes of macaroni and cheese.
That's right. That's good math.
Thank you for sharing, Senator.
Other questions or thoughts for the panel? Senator Starr.
This would have been of great interest to my four sons, who earned every penny of their college education during the 4 years they were in college. And three of them graduated from state institutions, the other from Seattle Pacific. I think you students will be commended for working and bettering your opportunities. And I think very small contribution by the state in this manner through tax credit would be appropriate. Thank you very much for bringing the idea to us.
Thank you. Other Senator Brzezinski.
Now, on a serious note, I agree with Senator Starr. I think this is a wonderful opportunity. It's also a travesty for the students to actually bring to us the information that we didn't have as to how little Oregon really is supporting young people to actually get their education. I mean, I think given the opportunity, we'd love to have a full funded education all the way through K through 16 easily, if not further than that. But this is definitely one way that we can help facilitate young people who are wanting to better themselves. And the reality, under our system that we have, this is the one way that we can actually get that long-term payback, is by giving them such little at this point. We as a society, as we get older, needing to have someone take care of the Social Security system for us to be able to actually put their fair share in, too.
We got your back.
Yeah, thanks.
other questions or comments?
Again.
This is our last testimony.
I do have one. Just a comment on looking at the bill. A couple of things I think we should look at, though, on lines in 6 or 7, if we're to proceed with this. Amount paid by taxpayer for instruction in a community college are fully accredited. As you know, not all of the coursework offered at community colleges get to the point that these young folks have been getting, been pointing out, and that is directing towards a degree or some type of occupation. And there is other coursework that has neither one of those involved, and I don't think we should be providing tax credit for some of those offerings. It should be, you know, targeted towards, you know, occupational growth or a degree. That would be the only comment I'd have.
Mr. Chair, if I may respond, I think this is almost a self-selecting group of students that if they are there, they are working, they are dedicated enough to be in the institution to advance themselves, while they may be taking what would be considered some personal enrichment or quality of life courses, the bulk of their studies would be the core academics to advance not only their academic but professional career. And I think the key in those lines is that it is that an accredited institution. I understand your point, I agree with you, but the type kids we're talking about are the type kids that are sitting in front of right now.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, and I understand that, Senator Westland. And I don't have any question about the people here, but what I'm saying, I wouldn't want someone setting up a course at Mount Hood Community College and says, you know, and Oregon takes tax, you know, I create a course work, and because this isn't limited to students, it's limited to anybody who takes the course, and basically says, this course for XYZ, you know, can be totally paid for by the state of Oregon with credit here, and now I've created an industry by creating that. Certainly the students who are involved with other things would be different, and I just think maybe some kind of language in that would clarify that that we don't create a cottage industry at a community college that's unrelated to, you know, to truly what we're trying to get at. That would be the only point.
Mm-hmm.
Chair Deckard, Senator Metzger, maybe what we could do is put in a reporting mechanism in the bill so that we can review it next legislative session, maybe even consider a sunset to see if those abuses actually occur, and then start tracking those.
Mm-hmm. That would be a possibility. Or another thing, Mr. Chair, was require that the institutions themselves certify their coursework qualifying for this, mm-hmm. You know.
That would be an easy mechanism.
I think
that
so.
Would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so.
We could do that through the board. I'm sure Cam
sure.
would be, you know, willing to comment on that. By the way, Cam and I have had conversations about this, and I don't want to put words in her mouth. The fiscal impact on the state, our back of the envelope figures, I think the word she used was it would be de minimis, but very helpful to the individual students.
Well, yeah, we'll get the, I mean, that's always the, and I have to be the bad guy on tax credits, but that's always the speech I have to give on every tax credit bill. And this is the hardest 2 weeks for this committee because all of them are good ideas. And this one definitely is elevated into play. That wasn't at least in my mind before today because of the impressive testimony in Deschutes County, I can tell you, comes through again in terms of well thought out legislation. However, we have to be very, very careful in terms of any tax cuts that we provide. Initially going into session, we weren't going to provide any. We kind of agreed we were going to do no negative. And we're opening the door and looking at good ideas that are coming forward, such as this. But it is just a very tough environment to be taking money out of this next budget cycle and future budget cycles. And so that's just the competing pressures that we have, though. I will tell you, like the college savings plan before you and like this one, you've made a very compelling case that deserves this committee's consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on Senate Bill 394? Close the public hearing. Thank the group for getting up early this morning and coming in, and we will look forward to working with you on this. And thank you for your impressive stories. They make it's a good way for us to start the day is to hear your stories.
Yeah, thank you.
Adjourn the Senate Revenue Committee.